Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that you just continue to open our hearts and minds to who you are. Father, that we seek you in all that we do. And Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and worship. Sing with me. Thank you.
Through how I wanted to handle my three this morning and how I wanted to present it. And the reason that this week's my three hits me a little different is I lost a very, very close dear friend this week, somebody I've known since third grade. He was the father of my best friend since third grade. And it was an unexpected accident. And it was in that moment I began to ask myself, did I represent Jesus well to him? Did I represent who God is well to him? You know, when we lose a dear friend, when we lose somebody that means a lot to us, we can start asking ourselves a lot of different questions about how we lived our life, what kind of example. And it's even scarier when you don't always know where somebody ended up at the end of their life. And that's not something that is joyful at all to ask ourselves that question, is it? That's why we have my three. Because we all know that we have friends and family that are walking around without knowing Jesus. We have friends and family that are walking around chasing things of this world. And it's only Jesus that'll transform their life. And so at this moment, what I want us to do is I want you to think of those people in your life that don't know Jesus. Let's not just go through the motions, but let's actually lift them up by name each and every day. If you need that little reminder, there's a cards out there that you can grab and you can put their name down and pray for them each and every day. Pray for them that Jesus would come into their life and radically change everything so that we can have full assurance at the end where someone is at. And we don't need to have those things running through our minds, those questions that we're asking. That instead of a sad time, it's a day of celebration, knowing they are standing there with our Heavenly Father. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together, to praise, to worship you. Lord, may we not take that for granted. Lord, I ask that you do a new work inside of each of us. And Lord, I pray for each person on our lists and those throughout our community that don't know you. Lord, that they may come into relationship with you. Father, may we know that you make all things new. That no matter what kind of life they have lived, you can come in and make them new again. And Father, that you will take them right where they're at. Lord, we lift them up by name in this moment. Father, we know you're the only one that can change hearts and minds. You're the only one that sees what's going on the inside. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord. Thank you.
Sweet.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Oh, Father, stand.
Lord, through the storm. Let's just sing this out. Turn your eyes.
I am zombie.
Father, we just come before you this morning. We just say we exalt you high above all things, that you are worthy of our praise this morning. Father, that you are good. You are good, Father. We say thank you that we can just worship you here in this great country. So, Father, we just say thank you. Thank you. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Amen, amen. Well, this morning, before we dive into the message and so forth, I want to invite Ann and Mary up here to talk a little bit about their individual Sunday school classes. Well, I can hold the mic. Yeah. I can do that. Okay. So.
All right. Well, I am a team member of three for the Lively Learners, ages 2 and 3. You think you can't teach those little 2 and 3 year olds? You sure can. We have playtime to start with, and then that's so the children are better acquainted with us. Then we sing a couple of songs. It may be deep and wide, something that has motions to it. Then we have story time, and our lesson is from our little book here. We have the lesson, one lesson, or the same story, 4 times in the month. It's placed differently, but it's to get the message across to the little ones. Then we have our dear friend, Whiskers. And I see many of our little students who are no longer little anymore, but they love our little Whiskers. Some of them don't. They're sort of scared of them, but it's a fun time. And then after Whiskers, and Whiskers' story is also from our lesson story, and you know, Whiskers gets scared. So we can relate the story to him and make sure that he knows that Jesus will help him at this time. And we have a coloring page, too, that relates to the story. Okay.
Awesome. And this is for the students 2 to 3 years old, right?
2 to 3 years old. Correct.
Every Sunday morning.
Every Sunday morning.
At 9 a.m.
Right.
Awesome.
And we encourage you to bring your little ones because we enjoy having them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Miss Ann?
Aunt Mary, I'm very impressed because you didn't have to read anything. I have to write everything down. I think it was last week or the week before, I said that it just really brightens my day when the kids come into Sunday school. And I found today that is really true because we didn't have Sunday school, and boy, am I a dragon. So, good morning. I'm Ann Frederick, and I'm one of the teachers for our PK through 5th grade classes. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Excuse me. In the PK through 5th grade class, we are blessed with the honor of helping parents train up a child in the way he should go, as mentioned in Proverbs 22, 6. We serve kids ages 4 years through 5th grade, and for a few years now, we've had all the ages in one classroom. We made a commitment this year to divide the class into 2 classes, age 4 years through 1st grade and 2nd grade through 5th grade. This way we can serve all ages better. We learn about the Bible through memory verses, videos, music, games, activities, and reading the Bible. In addition to typical Sunday school classes, we occasionally plan special events. We've had the Easter experience, a special event on tithing, as well as a special event on prayer. The next special event we are planning, with Kerwin's help, will be on worship. With our Sunday school tithes, we support a boy named Abdenagam, I said it right, from Ethiopia through Compassion International. And in November, we go shopping during the Sunday school hour to purchase supplies for 2 shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. If your kids aren't currently, or your grandkids aren't currently involved in Sunday school, we hope you'll give us a try. We really want to represent God well, and we take our job seriously. Thank you.
Yes, and if you've not had the opportunity to sit inside of any of these classrooms, it is quite fun, and They do awesome. They do awesome. So let's give them a round of applause. At this time, if there's any children left for ages 3 through 3rd grade, they can head on down and join for junior church. So, outside of that, well, good morning, church. It's good to be here with each one of you guys, especially as I prepare to preach my final sermon as an unmarried man. So things are changing. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I also want to welcome those that are joining us online and the radio. We're thankful for each and every one of you. But before we dive into God's word this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, we just put it all at the feet of the cross right now. Any struggles, anything we're holding on to, Lord, I hope that you just open up our hearts and minds. I pray that you open up our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say. Lord, I ask that it's your words that are spoken this morning and not my own. Father, that we find peace and comfort in you. Lord, that we strive after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, over the last couple of weeks in the Life of Christ series, we've seen Jesus not only emphasize holy living, living a life that is dedicated to Christ, but also emphasizing how we get there. You know, he started with teaching on how we're called to repent and turn to him. Jesus reminded us that none of us are good enough on our own, that there's no way that we can just work our way into heaven. Jesus continued to teach on what it means to bear good fruit for him. He even talked about how he's patient with us, that God takes the time to cultivate us and helps us get to where we're called to be, that he gives us everything we need to walk out this holy life, to bear good fruit. He's given us his word, what we call the Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It's that still small voice in us that guides us and directs us. On top of that, we have Jesus' own life that was given as an example of how we are called to live. And God doesn't force us to do any of this. We get to make a choice on whether or not we want to follow him. We get to make a choice on whether or not we want to listen to him. We get to make a choice whether or not we allow him to work in our lives. But we've also been reminded that there are consequences for our choices. If our life does not bear good fruit, if our life is not found in Christ, at the end we will face eternal separation from God. And though he is patient with us, that patience doesn't last forever. None of us know when we will face that final judgment day. And then we came to last week. And we saw Jesus showing us part of what it means to live a holy life, what it means to have mercy on others, showing us what is truly important in life. If you remember from last week, there was a woman at the synagogue who had been afflicted for over 18 years. And inside of those 18 years, she was unable to stand up straight. She was unable to do many things and was constantly in pain. Yet all it took was one encounter with Jesus for her entire life to be radically changed. And after Jesus transformed her life, when everybody was celebrating and praising God, and wouldn't we be doing the same thing? We witnessed such a miracle happen. Everyone was celebrating except the synagogue leader. The leader in the synagogue was so stuck on his tradition, so stuck in his ways, that he became angry that Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath. And he got so angry that he started yelling at the crowd and criticizing them for bringing their sick to the synagogue to be healed on the Sabbath. You see, he had this idea in his head what it means to be a good Jewish person, what it means, what a person like that would look like, just like we often have an idea in our head what a good Christian looks like. And those that were sick and in pain that were there did not fit that mold. In his eyes, it was more important to keep the traditions of the elders than to do the work that God has actually called him to do. to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around him. And he didn't understand what it meant to actually live a holy life. This morning, the title of the message is Holy Life, Holy Reward. And it comes from the Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 30. It's picking up exactly where we left off last week. And I'm going to tell you guys, I have wrestled with this all week long. This has been something I've been going through. And what's the best way for us to approach as we look at the scripture? You know, our faith is something that's designed to be grown. It's not something that just happens overnight. Each day we are called to pursue God, and each day that we do that, our faith grows a little bit more. You know, when we see the saints who walk with Jesus for years and years around us, and I think many of us can imagine somebody who's been walking with Jesus for a long time, and we can begin to start wondering, what would it be like to have that kind of faith? What would it be like to have that kind of faith when we're facing difficult situations, yet praising God like the woman did last week? It can be something that inspires us. It can be something that challenges us. When we read about the disciples in the Bible, when we read through those amazing stories of how they stood firm on the Word of God, even when they knew they were about to be persecuted, how they celebrated the fact that they were persecuted and counted worthy for the sake of Christ, we can begin to wonder, what would it be like to have that kind of faith? When we read and we hear the stories of missionaries around the world who are beaten, battered, and bruised for their faith, when we read and hear the stories of missionaries willing to risk their own life all for the sake of the gospel, we can begin to wonder, what would it be like to have that kind of faith? To be able to stand firm inside of that moment. And we may even be able to begin to ask ourselves, do we have that kind of faith? Do we have the kind of faith to stand firm in those moments? If you were to face persecution, could you hold your head up high and proclaim the name of Jesus still inside of that moment? If you knew it would cost you everything, would you still choose to stand firm and proclaim the name of Jesus? This is a question I've asked myself many times. It's a question I hope you've asked yourself as well. And I do pray that if that day ever comes where I have to make that stand, that I can hold my head up high, stand firm, and proclaim the name of Jesus, no matter what the world throws my way. And this morning, we're going to be taking a look at how that kind of faith comes to be. How it becomes a reality to be able to stand firm no matter what's going on around us. And how God can use even the smallest amount of faith to grow into something extraordinary. So let's dive into our passage this morning, starting with verse 18, where it says, "And he said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and what can I compare it to?" Our passage this morning starts off with a question that Jesus presents himself. What is the kingdom of God like? You know, at this particular time in history, first century Judaism had this expectation of the kingdom of God. What everybody assumed the kingdom of God would be. And this expectation was that it would come all at once. That it would come with great glory and great power, not something that would be built up. And the reality is, it's no different on how we want our own faith to operate. We want to be able to say a prayer, say yes to Jesus, and have all of our problems solved, right? If we could have all the problems solved by a simple prayer and be done, who wouldn't be excited for that? We want to have faith like David all at once. We want to have faith like the disciples all at once. Yet we have to remember that our faith is something that's supposed to be grown. It's something that takes time. And on top of that, our faith is not something that we can just grow on our own. It's done through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's done by spending time in God's Word. It's done by spending time in prayer with our Heavenly Father, listening to that still small voice within us. It's done through walking through that refining fire. That is how our faith is built up. You know, I want you to think about this for a minute. Think about anything that you do, something that you enjoy doing. What if you're a fisherman? How many people in here like to fish? Nathan's hand shot up so fast in the back, it wasn't even funny. But to become a great fisherman, you don't just go out and buy a rod and reel, do you? No, it takes time. It takes dedication. It takes an ability to learn how to fish well. You don't become a farmer because you went and you bought a tractor. That's how you go in debt. I had to say it. I saw the price on some of those tractors. Whew. It takes time to learn to become a good farmer. You need to learn when to plant, when to harvest. You don't become a teacher without first being taught yourself. You know, to grow our faith, we're called to get together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called to turn to Jesus. We're called to turn to the Word of God. We're called to listen to the Holy Spirit and to spend time in prayer. And we're also, when we're together with our brothers and sisters, we have to remember that iron sharpens iron. We learn by being around those who are further along in our walk with Christ. And our faith grows as we learn to trust God more and more, and even in the smallest of things in our lives. You know, our faith starts small. That's where it starts. It starts by making a decision to follow Jesus. It's the beginning of our holy life. You know, Jesus said in verse 19, he said, it's like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the sky nested in its branches. You know, this is actually a very powerful picture about our faith. It's a powerful picture about how the kingdom of God came to be. I don't know how many of you guys have ever seen a mustard seed in your life, but a mustard seed is barely visible at the end of your fingertips. It is so tiny. Yet that extremely tiny seed, when placed in the right soil, given the right climate, it emerges into the sky as this mighty tree. Now, depending on the type of mustard seed and mustard tree, at times they can grow as large as 25 feet in the air. I want you to think about that for a moment. A seed that is so tiny that it barely fits on the tip of your fingertips grows into something 25 feet in the air. That's an extraordinary amount of growth. And that same thing can happen to our faith. It starts small. It starts by placing our hope in Jesus. It starts by placing our trust in Him and allowing Him to transform us from the inside out. You know, when that seed is planted, it's not always visible right away on the outside, is it? It's something that is grown and brought up. Think of all the disciples, think of the saints and the missionaries and all of these people that have taken a bold stance for Christ, ones that we can often look to. Think of all of our brothers and sisters in Christ that you look up to for the amount of faith that they have. Do you realize that it all started with just a little bit of faith and making a decision to follow Jesus? And that faith had been cultivated through the power of prayer, through Holy Spirit, through spending time in God's Word, by sitting at the feet of Jesus and allowing Him to transform them from the inside out. They didn't get to that point in their walk with Jesus overnight. It started with that simple decision to follow Him and allow that seed to take root. And Jesus, wanting to make this point even clearer, uses another parable in verses 20 and 21, where he says, "And again I said, what can I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened." You know, leaven is like yeast. It makes the dough rise. And it only takes a little bit to infect all of the flour, and it affects all of the dough. And for us to grow in Christ, for us to grow in our faith, Jesus is saying here, hey, it takes just a little bit of this to affect your entire life. You see, because once we've accepted Jesus, once we've said yes to Him and allow Him to start working inside of us, It starts penetrating all areas of our lives. It starts working from the inside out. When we've actually made a commitment to Christ, not just said some words, but genuinely turned to Him, we'll never be the same. Because we can't continue on without it affecting all of our areas of life. You know, our relationships change, how we speak about other people change, how we speak to other people changes. Because if we allow God into our lives, if we're truly committed to Him, everything begins to change. We will no longer operate as the world does. We will no longer see things as the world sees things. But it all starts by turning our hearts and minds to Jesus. To let that little bit of leaven in our lives. That's the beginning of a holy life. It's not coming to Jesus and suddenly everything's perfect where we don't have any more struggles. It's not coming to Jesus and thinking that everything's gone. It's a process that we continue to grow in. We allow God to start affecting every part of us. And when we begin to walk out that holy life, we're promised a holy reward. We're a promised eternity with our Heavenly Father. The passage continues in verse 22 and 23 where it says, He went through one town and village after another, teaching and making His way to Jerusalem. Lord, someone asked Him, are only a few people going to be saved? What the man is asking here is, how many people are going to be saved? Is there a limit to how many people God is going to allow into heaven? And that was actually a topic of debate for a lot of the Pharisees and the teachers of the time. Can we imagine if God had a limit of how many people He would allow into heaven? And the reason the man was asking this, honestly, was because in his head, he was trying to figure out his odds of being able to get in. Maybe I can be good enough. But Jesus, being Jesus, answered the man by flipping the script on him with another answer in verse 24. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and won't be able to. Did you guys notice that? Jesus didn't give him a number. He asked for a number. Jesus didn't give him a number. He didn't say only so many people can get into heaven. No, instead he said make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The question is not how many people will be saved, but whether or not you will be saved. The path of salvation, the path of eternal life is through a narrow door. You know, at this time in history, people believed that if they carried out the traditions of the law, if they kept a bunch of rules, they would be able to get into heaven. And that's no different than today. There are many that believe that if we go to church on Sundays, that if we recite a few prayers, that if our good outweigh our bad, then we get to go to heaven. They have simplified salvation down to this basics. And to be honest with you, that sounds a lot easier than living a fully committed life to Christ, doesn't it? Because once you become fully committed and you live a life that God has called you to, once you start living a life in such a way that the fruit of the Spirit is evident inside of you, once you start living a life that radiates Christ from within, you start to learn that your life is no longer your own when you turn to Christ. Wouldn't it be easier if we could just go through some motions and not worry about anything? But that's not how this works. When we turn to Jesus, He starts radically changing every part of our lives. It is no longer us that live. In fact, Galatians 2:20 tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, it's no longer about what we want. Instead, it's about doing what Christ asks of us. If Jesus says go, you go. I'll give you a prime example of that. One of the states I did not want to move to when I was praying to God about where are you going to send me was I didn't want to go to Illinois. But God said, go. So here I am. It worked out well for me. Some reason he seems to know better than I do. But when Jesus says, stay, you stay. When we live a fully committed life to Christ, when we're walking out that holy life that we're called to live, it means dying to our own desires. It means dying to our fleshly desires. You know, there's a lot of things the world tells us that we need. There's a lot of things in the world tells us that we need to be happy. Yet so much of what the world tells us actually leads to destruction. But when we're in Christ, we're not called to look at the world around us. We're not called to do things that the world does. I'm not going to sugarcoat it this morning. When we say no to things of this world and we turn to Christ, when we call sin, sin, when we stand on the word of God, there will be persecution that we will face. We will face challenges in our lives like never before. But we can trust that God is with us through it all, that he will give us the strength even when we're weak, even when we just started with that little seed of faith. We can trust that God will carry us through all the way to the end. And this is why we're called to count the cost of following Jesus. This is why we're called to pick up our cross daily and follow him. This is why we're called to live a holy life. Because it's not ours anymore, but it's Christ. But God has given us the right to choose to live for him or to live for the world. But he also warns us that there's consequences of that decision if we choose not to enter through the narrow door. Jesus says in verse 25, once the homeowner gets up and shuts the door, then he will stand outside knocking on the door saying, Lord, open up for us. He will answer, I don't know you or where you're from. You see, the day will come when that door shuts, when our opportunity to repent and turn to Jesus comes to a close. There is no second chance after that. I think this is one of those scriptures that can actually strike fear in us at times. This idea of standing in front of God on the judgment day and hearing, away from me, I never knew you. We never had a relationship. You know, just because we have religion doesn't mean that we're walking with Christ. And I think sometimes we can get that confused. And that's why Jesus says in verse 26, then he will say, you ate and you drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. I truly believe there will be people shocked on judgment day, that there's going to be people who believe that they were on their way to heaven only to find out they really didn't know Jesus. They knew things about him. They had an idea of who he was. But they didn't actually have that one-on-one relationship. You know, if you don't spend time with God, how are you going to know who he is? I'm about to get married. If I don't spend time with my wife, how am I going to know who she is? If you don't spend time with your children, how are you going to know who they are? If you want to know who God is, you have to spend time with him. You know, and it's not going to matter what excuse you have in that moment when you stand in front of that judgment seat. You're not going to be able to say, well, I thought I was good enough. I gave the homeless guy $5 when I passed by. You're not going to be able to say, well, I went to church occasionally. You know, I went to VBS as a kid. You won't be able to say, well, I went on a few mission trips or I said a few prayers or memorized some scriptures. You see, going through the motions of faith is not what saves us. And if we're relying on our works for our salvation, it's never going to be enough. You know, the Bible tells us that we all fall short of the glory of God. And that's why we need Jesus, because none of us are capable of doing it on our own. That's why God sent his one and only Son to pay a penalty that we can't pay. But we have to remember at the same time, he will never force us to surrender. And he warns us, though, what will happen when we don't. We have free will to choose. He says in 27 and 28, but he will say, I tell you, I don't know you or where you're from. Get away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that place when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourself thrown out. I don't know you. How horrible would it be to have Jesus speak those words in the end? You know, we can hear all the sermons in the world. We can volunteer through everything that we can think of. We can hear the words of God over and over again, yet if we refuse to believe, if we refuse to allow Christ to make us new, we never get in. We're called to live a life that reflects Christ. We're called to give it all to Him, not to trust in our religion, not to trust in our traditions, but to trust in Christ and Christ alone. He's the one who makes all things new. And the last two verses of today, they will come from the east and the west, from the north and to the south, sharing the banquet of the kingdom of God. Note this, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. You know, I truly do believe that in the end, on Judgment Day, we will be shocked at who we see sitting there in the kingdom of God. There's going to be people that have never set foot inside of a church building like this. There's going to be people who don't make it to church every week sitting in heaven. They may not have made it to every prayer meeting. They may look different than you and I. But here's the thing. They fully surrendered their life to Christ. They understood that it wasn't their life anymore, that it was Christ. They chose the narrow door. They allowed that small seed to be planted in their life. And they live a holy life. And now they get a holy reward. And let me be clear on something. Living a holy life doesn't mean that we become perfect. Living a holy life doesn't mean that we suddenly have it all figured out. Living a holy life means that we continue to pursue Christ in everything we do. That He becomes first in our lives. That we allow our lives to radiate who He is to the world around us. And my question to you guys this week is simple. What door will you choose? Will you choose the broad door? I'm going to tell you, it's a lot easier to walk through that path. It's like, have you ever seen a nature trail? I want to make this as clear. Have you ever seen a nature trail where it's a hard hike? You got a narrow single path that you got to walk through, and you might have to hold on to branches and to get up and walk through. How many people travel that trail? It's very rare, right? But then they go, and in the middle of the woods, they put this nice paved path all the way through, and suddenly you see people going up and down all day long. It's much easier to get through. We were called to take that narrow path. It's not always easy, but it's the one that leads to eternal life. Because for us to be able to live a holy life where we get a holy reward, it means that we fully surrender to Jesus and we go where He's called us to go. We do what He's called us to do, where our whole life is His. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and Lord, we thank You for Your words. We thank You for the reminder that we are called to travel the path less traveled, that we're to go through the narrow door. Lord, I ask that we examine ourselves this morning. On which path are we pursuing? Are we traveling the path of the world, or are we traveling the path that You have for us? Father, are we living a surrendered life? Have we allowed that little seed of faith to sprout in our lives? And I want to encourage all of you guys here this morning, if you've been resistant on starting with that little bit of faith, that seed, give it to Him today. Come talk to me. Talk to Kerwin. Talk to one of the elders. We would love to have that conversation with you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand.
As you go out this week, I just pray that you allow that small seed to sprout in your life, and that you may be a reflection of what it means to be a follower of Christ to the world around you. God bless, and have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.